Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Chaf Amud Aleph at the two dots. The Gemara is going to bring down a cryptic breita, and from that cryptic breita, we're going to have an explanation by Abaye and an explanation by Rava. And that will lead to a fundamental machloket between Abaye and Rava in their positions about Hatpasat Shvua, as well as a machloket, many machlokot in the Rishonim. So we'll start out first with the breita, which is Tan Rabbanan. Mifta Shvua. Isar Shvua. Isor Isar, Iyata Omer Isar Shvua Chayav, Vila Patur. Now, it sounds like from the Breita that Mifta is a Shvua, and Isar is also a Shvua. Then the Breita says, Isar, Isur of Isar, that fact that Isar is Asur, is if you say it's a Shvua, you're Chayav. If you don't say it's a Shvua, it's Patur. When it says, Imata Omer, if you think it's a Shvua, Isar Shvua, Vahamart Isar Shvuahu. You want to know, you're not sure if it's called an Isar Shvua, you just said it. The Breita already said Isar Shvuahu, that it is classified as Isar Shvua. So what's the Breita have any safek about? So along comes Abaye, here's the first explanation of the Breita, and that's Adliba de Abaye. Amar Abaye, Hochi Kamar, this is how to parse the Breita, or how to read this Breita. First of all, Mifta Shvua. If you use the terminology of Mifta, that is a Shvua. And that's what both Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi agree, is that instead of the word Shvua, you use the word Mifta. So you say, for instance, you say Miftar, according to Rashi, Miftar kikar zu alai, or Miftar ochel kikar zu. So that would be a classified, that Miftar, the use of the term Miftar, is equivalent of using the word Shvua. That's the first statement of Abaye. Second statement of Abaye is Isar matbish bishvua. The use of the terminology Isar is the equivalent of hatpasat shvua. So the way Rashi learns this is that if you did use the word Isar the same way you would have used the word shvua mivta, then it functions as hatpasat shvua. That means according to Rashi, now you would say Isar kikar zu alai, or Isar ochel kikar zu, that you restrict yourself using the term Isar. So Rashi says, even though the word Isar does not mean Shvua, nevertheless it does mean what's called Hatpasat Shvua. It's as if you said, let this Kikar be Asur, and then let this second Kikar that I'm speaking about now be Asur just like the first one. So Rashi says it's as if you had said already something else is Asur, and then you're trying to make this item Asur just like the first item. So that's how Rashi reaches it, use the word Isar just like you use the word Miftah, that you take the Shvua with the word Isar. But Isar does not work like the word Miftah and mean literally the word Shvua, but rather it works like Hatpasat Shvua. It has the as if one had said it explicitly like a Shvua, but it's done derech Hatpasa. And that's the Gemara's now statement afterwards, and that's what the Breita has afterwards. Isar will work by Matishuda, that's Isur Isar. Imata Omer Matpis Bishwa Kamotzi Shwa Mipiv Domi. If you think that Mitbas Bishwa is Kamotzi Shwa Mipiv Domi, it's as if you explicitly said a Shvua, Chayav, then you'd be Chayav. Vim Lav, Patur. If not, you would be Patur. So that's the statement according to Abaye. You have three parts to the Breita. You have the part of Mifta, which means Shvua, like a regular Shvua. It's used in place of the word Shvua. You have Isar, which is used to create a Hatpasat Shvua. Again, the way Rashi reads it is that Isar means that I am saying the word Isar just like I use the word Mifta in place of Shvua, but it means something different. It doesn't mean Shvua. The word Isar doesn't replace Ishvua, but rather it replaces it and says, it's like as if it said a whole sentence. The word Isar means I made something else Asur and I want to make this Asur just like this other thing. So that's like a whole statement that comes packaged in that word Isar, according to Rashi. And that works because of Hatpasat Shvua. Again, if you think Hatpasat Shvua, connecting a Shvua to another item works, then that will make you Chayav. If it doesn't work, then you're Patur, because then there was no Shvua. That's the explanation that Rashi gives. Tosafot disagrees. He has a series of questions on Rashi's Pshat, and then he brings down the Reinu Tam, and who gives an alternate Pshat, and over here they give actually numerous Pshatim about what the possibility, what that Pasat Shvua is over here. So you look in the Tosafot, it's about the center of the Tosafot. It's across from the middle of the Rabbeinu Chananel. It says, Mufarish Rabbeinu Tam. The Miftah Katuva Parsha Hu Lashon Shvua Shenishba B'Lashon Miftah Ki Deperish Nami B'Kuntres. He agrees with the Rashi. The word Miftah is used in place of the word Shvua. Aval Isara Katuva Parsha Eino Shvua. The word Isara is not used like Rashi uses it in place of the word Shvua. It just comes packaged with the whole sentence. Ella what? That she has Sarat Smo B'Lashon Isar. Ella? Bimat pis bishvua katuv midaber. He's talking about a really hot pasul. What's that mean? Shnishbal kikar. He took a shvua about a loaf of bread. Vichazar v'amar. Now he's taking a second shvua al kikar acher on a second kikar, and he says, Harei alai shalochel kikar zeh kaze, and I will not eat this kikar just like I wouldn't eat the first kikar. So that's the statement, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not like Rashi says where you use the word Isar and it comes packaged with all this meaning in it. No. Isar means that he literally, it's a hadpasa. It's not using the term Isar, but rather using a concept called hadpasa shvua, which means that I take one explicit shvua, and then I take one shvua through inference. Does that shvua through inference work? And that's what Tosa says, yes, that's what the answer is. The Gemara says, if they're using a shvua through inference is classified like a shvua, then it would work. If not, it's not. Behind the Isar, the Kra. That's the Isar of the Kra. The Pasuk, when it uses the term Isar, does not mean use the term speak and say Isar Ochel Kikar Zeolai. No, Isar means that I created a Shavua not through using the terminology of Shavua, but rather through the using Hadpasa, connecting it right to another Shavua or something that is already Asur. So that's one explanation. The second explanation that Tosas gives, Inami, it's down by the towards the end of the narrow lines. Inami Acher Perusho, Im Ata Omer Matpis Vishua. If you say that Matpis Vishua works, Perush Shidpisu B'Lashon Shua. So you secure Lashon Achila. V'Amar Harei Alai Shelo Uchel Ze Kaze. Right? V'Imlav Shelo Iskir Lashon Achila. El Amar Harei Alai Ze Kaze Patur. So Tosas introduces a new concept, which is that Eino Chanami, the Gemara knows that a Pasat Shua works. That's not a question over here. If you say, if you create a Shua through another Shua, that definitely works. The only question here is, did you use the full Lashon Shua, or did you not use the full Lashon Shua? So when you came, you had two possibilities. After you made the first Kikar Asur, he said, Shua Shalo Ochel Kikar Zu. He made the first Kikar Asur to himself. Then he comes along on the second Kikar, he has different ways to formulate it. He could say, one possibility is, Shua Shalo Ochel Kikar Zu Kazu. I could say, I will not eat this Kikar, just like he said he would not eat the previous Kikar. Or, he could say, Lashon of Shua, that is, I will not, Shua, that Hare Alai Ze Kaze, that this Kikar is like that Kikar. Never mentions the term Achila. So the lack of the term Achila makes it that it's not a Shua. And that's what Tosa says. The Gemara's, or the Braita saying, if a hadpasa works, meaning if hadpasa works, that if you use lashon achila, then it works. If you don't use lashon achila, then it doesn't work. Why? Because achila is the terminology that's used for a shvua. A fundamental difference between shvuot and nedarim, which we discussed yesterday, is that a shvua is the gavra, and the neder is on the chevtza. So when you're talking about the shvua, you're talking about the achila, the eating, the action of eating, not about the kikar itself. So therefore, if you mention the term achila, then it'll work, because that'll be hadpasat shvua. So if you say, if a person says, Hare alai ochel, or ochel shvua, ochel kikar zu kazu, then already he's using the terminology of shvua. If he uses the terminology of shvua, it can be mapisit with the first shvua. On the other hand, if he just says, right, Hare alai kikar zu kazu, then he never mentions the term achila, then he's not using the terminology of shvua, and that won't work for hadpasa. That's the second explanation of Tosfot. Tosfot then has a third explanation, which is actually, it's a third derivative. What happens is he takes a shvua that he won't eat a certain kikar. Then after that, he takes a second shvua that he won't eat another kikar, but he says shvua shlo ochel kikar zu kazu. Then he takes a third shvua, which connects the third kikar to the second kikar. So he had a first kikar, which he took an explicit shvua not to eat it. Then he has a second kikar. He says, Shlo Ochel Gazeh Kazeh. He creates number two, connected back to number one. Then he creates a third shvua, which he says, Shvua, Shlo Ochel Kikazu Kazu. But that is connecting three to two. So the question is, can you have that kind of a daisy chain where the Hadpasat Shvua works in terms of creating the third Shvua? I mean, do we say, and that's what the Gemara says, if you say that Hadpasat Shvua is as if you explicitly said a Shvua, then you can make the third one into also Asur because you're connected to the second one. But once he's used Hadpasat, he created a full-fledged Shvua on the second one, and therefore he can move it on to the third one. On the other hand, if the Hadpasat works to Asur the second Kikar, but it doesn't make it into a full-fledged Shvua, then when he comes to be piece, the third kikar with the second kikar, he can't do that, because he can't move from the second to the third, because the second isn't a full-fledged shvua. And that actually might deal with a chakira in general about hadpasat shvua. When one is matpis a shvua, how does it work? What are you being matpis in the shvua? Are you being matpis the chalut shame of the shvua, meaning that the effects of the shvua are what you're being matpis onto the other item. So therefore, if you can make something also to a shvua, then you can be matpis. You can move that isur onto another item. If that's the case, then there should be no problem moving an item from, you know, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, because as long as it's asur, you can move along. Or do we say that it's the actual, the bitui ha-shvua, the expression of the shvua is what you're allowed to be matpis. You can move over. If you took an explicit shvua on one item, then the way you're matpis is, you now basically say, harei zukazu, it's as if you're saying ditto, or quote, yes, the same way that I made the other one asur, I'm making this one asur. But that means you have to have made a shvua on the first one in order to make the second one asur. So is that? That would be the difference in matpis, or an afkamina between these two would actually be our case. The case where you're dealing with a third, right, hadpasa. The third item is asur, and I might relate to whether how hadpasa works. Because if hadpasa works, derech that it takes something that was not an explicit shvuah and can move along, because all it cares about is the chalut of the shvuah, the isur that's created, and I can move the isur from one to the next. That's great. So I can move the isur from the first one to the second one, and then I can move from the second one to the third one. But on the other hand, if we require a full-fledged shvuah, if we require a bitui svatayim in order to have a shvuah bichal, and hadpasa has to work by moving that bitui svatayim, it may be that you can only do that by moving from the first to the second. If I move it from the first to the second, I had a full-fledged shvuah on the first, and I can move it to the second. When it comes to the third one, maybe not, because the second one doesn't have an explicit shvuah. It doesn't have an explicit shvuah. What am I moving to the third one? I have nothing to move over there. I have nothing, no bitois for time that I can move over. And that's what the Braisa says. Well, that depends. If I think that a pasuk shvuah is kir, bitois for time legamre, if it's like a full-fledged speaking of a shvuah, then maybe I can move it over to the third one, because now I have a full-fledged shvuah. Even on the second one, I can move that to the third. On the other hand, if I think that the shvuah just works by moving over the isur, but it doesn't create for me a full-fledged shvuah, it doesn't create a full-fledged shvuah, then maybe I cannot move it over from number two to number three, and that'll be the nafkamina between that and that chakira. So here, Tosfos gives three possibilities about what this brisa is speaking about. Again, Rabbi Tam says either it's talking about not using the word isar, but really a hatpasa. I'm using a derivative shvuah. Does that work or not? The second possibility that the Tosfos suggests over here is way that I formulate the shvuah. When I formulate the shvuah, do I have to use a lashon shvuah to formulate the hatpasa? Do I have to use the word ochel or not? And the last possibility, but it also says, what happens to a derivative of hatpasa? Can I create a hatpasa to a hatpasa? Right, and that what we just spoke about, this chakira, about whether that might derive, or might, the question might revolve around how exactly hatpasa works and why it works in these instances over here. Right, so that's the machlokas Rashi and the Tosafot about how to explain Abaye's position. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the source for Abaye's position? My d'mifta shvua. How do I know that the word mifta means shvua? Dichtiv, because it says in the parsha of a karban olevi oreid, it says o nefesh ki tishva levatei bisfatayim. So there he's coming, levatei bisfatayim, tishava levatei bisfatayim. So Gemara says, isar nami. You want to do that? The word isar also appears in that same way. Dichtiv kol nedev chol shvat isar. So you see the word shvat appears alongside of bitui svatayim. It also applies alongside of isar. That means if you think bitui svatayim means also shvua, then isar should also mean shvua. Elami mai disar mitpas b'shvuahu. No, the Gemara says, no. What's the source that the word isar really is hatpasa shvuahu? Dichtiv, because it says, o asra, Asra Yisar al Nafsha Bishvua. She created an Isar on herself through a Shvua. That's the bet. There's the Bishvua. So the only way she created the Isar is through another Shvua. I mean that the Isar itself couldn't create the Shvua. Isar is an Isar that's created because of another Shvua. That's at the Pasat Shvua. Where it says, well, you have the same language used by Bitu Isvatayim, because it says, Miftanami Aktiv, the Chola Sheivate Adam Bishvua. So over there also it says, Yivate Adam Bishvua. So the Bitu only came through another Shvua. So you would say, if you call that her Pasat Shvua by Isar, it should also be at Pasat Shvua by Bitu Svatayim. El Amar Baye, Mifta Shvua Mihocha. Now, how do I know Mifta really means Shvua? Because it says, Imayoti Yad Ish Undare Aleha, O Miftat Svatea Shir Asral Nafsha. So the Ilu Shvua Lo Kamar, the word Shvua is not mentioned over here. So what does it mean, Mifta Svatea Shir Asral Nafsha? So my Asra, what did she make herself asur with? Atzma b'mifta. She used the term mifta, and that made it asur, and that's just like a shvua. So that's imayat elish nadereha leh. She has nidarim on her. Oh, mifta svata. What's mifta svata? That's a synonym for the word shvua. And that's how we know the word mifta can be used interchangeably with the word shvua. That's a bias source for the fact that mifta means shvua. Now along comes Rava, and Rava says, no, I'm going to interpret the braita slightly differently. Rava amar lo'olam meimelecha mitpas b'shvua lav kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. It's clear to Rava that when it comes to hatpasat shvua, that it doesn't work. Hatpasat shvua does not work. V'achi kamar. Well, if it doesn't work, then has he explained the braita? Rabbi used hatpasat shvua to explain one of the memrot in the braita. If Rava doesn't have that concept, then how is he going to explain the braita? He says like this, mifta shvua. Mifta works as a shvua. isar nami shvua. The word isar also works as a shvua. That means both the word miftah and the word isar are synonyms for the words shvua, and they can be used if you create or you formulate something miftah ochel kikar zu, or if he says isar ochel kikar zu, it's equivalent of saying shvua ochel kikar zu. So that will work. It can replace either one of them. So then what do we do? The next line in the brisa. Asrei d'isar. What do we do that? Haitilu akatuv ben neder lishvua. It's not clear. The word isar has multiple definitions, and it depends on the context in which it's used what its definition will be, because the pasuk places the word isar between neder and shvua. That means isar can be used in the context of a neder. It also can be used in the context of a shvua. So that's what it says. If the word isar, that's what the Gemara means. Hotzio b'lashon neder, neder. If you express the word isar and you use the word isar as a neder, you formulated the statement as a neder, then isar will function as a neder. B'lashon shvua. On the other hand, if you use the term isar as a shvua, it will be a shvua. And that's what the Braisa comes to clarify. Yes, miftah always means shvua. There's no other interpretation of the word miftah. Isar can also mean shvua, but it depends on how it's used. If isar is used to be a shvua in the context and formulated like a shvua, then it will be a shvua. If isar is used to formulate it as a neder, then it will be a neder. That's the explanation of Rava. So Gemara says, Eichen etilu, where do we find the word isar found between or stuck between a neder and a shvua? Because it says, im beit isha nidara, o asra isar al nafsha bishvua. So you see that you have nidara and then shvua at the end, and in between is isar. So did isar come from the neder beforehand, or does the isar come because of the shvua afterwards? So we don't know. The answer is that it can be both. Isar functions in both ways, and since you're going to function in both ways, it really is dependent on the fact of how you use it and what context you use it. And that Gemara says, as to the tamayu, that the machos and bai rova is really the shitatam, which is the idmar matpis v'shvua. If a person uses hatpasa, uses this function to create a new shvua through comparing it with another item, but that abaya mar kamotzi shvua mipiv dami, it's the equivalent of saying an explicit shvua. It works. Rav amar lav kamotzi shvua mipiv dami. According to Rav, it doesn't work. You cannot create a shvua in this manner. Now Rashi over here believes that when Rav says that it does not work, that lav kamotzi shvua mipiv dami, right? He thinks that it does not work entirely. That means that it doesn't work for a neder, and it doesn't work for a shvua. Hadpasa does not work whatsoever. That hadpasa, according to Rava, is a non-existent halachic function. You cannot create shvuot, and you cannot create nedarim through hadpasa. If you compare it to another item, it will not help you at all. That's Rashi's shita. Many of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and Tosfot over here is one of them that disagrees. He says, how could it be? We have explicit mishnayot in nedarim and in nazir that say that you can do it through hadpasa. So if that's the case, how could Rashi suggest over here that it's not? So many of the Rishonim believe there's actually a difference between Shvuot and Nidarim. That by Nidarim, even Rava agrees that Hadpasa works by Nidarim. Hadpasa does not work by Shvuot, and that's the opinion of Rava. Rava and Abaye are disagreeing in Shvuot whether Hadpasa works, but both of them agree by Nidarim that it does work. Again, Rashi says it works in neither according to Rava, and they'll be arguing both in Shvuot and Nidarim. Whereas Tosafot believes that when it comes to Hadpasa by Nidarim, everybody agrees, Abaye and Rava, that it works. It's just by Shvuot that they have this machlokes. The Ran on the Rif explains actually why would that be. The Ran in the Rif says, what's the difference between Hadpasa by a Shvua and Hadpasa by a Neder? Why should there be such a distinction? So the Ran actually gives two explanations as why. He says, number one is because the way that a Neder works. A Neder is an Isser in the Cheftza, whereas a Shvua is an Isser in the Gavra. So Hadpasa works by moving something that has Kedusha here, and you're trying to transfer it or place it onto another item. So if you're talking about a Chayfetz, you can talk about a Chayfetz that has Kedusha, or a Chayfetz that has Isser on it, and you can move that one to the next. That's called Hadpasa. That works. By Shvua, there is no item to move the Isser. The Isser is in the Gavra. The Gavra may not eat something. So that may not eat something you can't move anywhere, because there's nothing to be matpis on. There's nothing to connect the shvua to in order to have it be hatpas, there be hatpas on another item. He brings a second reason, which is that beneder, the ikar neder works by hatpasa, just like behektesh. Just like hektesh works because you do chalipin, you can do some sort of swapping. That hektesh can be done through, if you do tmura in hektesh, for instance, then the item remains kodesh and you can transfer the kodesh to another item. So do nidarim. The ikar form of neder is through hatpasa. This is the Ran, and the Darim also says this in a couple of places, that the ikar neder is done through hatpasa, not through the actual item. You can't create. When it comes to a shvua and you want to say, I will not do an action that you can do. To make an object asur, that you can't just do willy-nilly and make the object asur. You have to have some sort of chalut shem of the isur. Where do you get that from? Well, you get that from another item that is asur. So if you take another item asur and you bring it over here, that you can do. You can transfer that isur over, just like by hektesh, you can transfer kedusha over to another item. But that works only by the cheftza, when the cheftza is kadosh, or the cheftza is asur. But it doesn't work by a gavra, you can't move the item over. So for that reason, the Ran distinguishes or creates this distinction between shvuah and neder. As opposed to Rashi, who sees that there is a commonality, there's only a single din here, which is that both hadpasa by shvuot and hadpasa by nedarim, that Rava would disagree and hold that there is no hadpasa over there. What does Rashi do with all the Gemarot in Nedarim and all the Gemarot in Nazir that say that the Neder does work ayidei Hatpasa? That Rav Soloveitchik wanted to distinguish between the Hatpasa in the Mishnayot and the Hatpasa of Rashi over here. All the times that the Hatpasa is mentioned in the Mishnayot, the Hatpasa is in a Davar HaKadosh, but a Chepsa of Kedusha, meaning that the Hatpasa is with either Kikarban, Keheichal, Kinazir, things that are a Chepsa of Kedusha. And that, Rashi says, or that's what the Mishnayot say, that you can be Matpis, that you can move over and create Hatpasa by Nedarim. What you can't do hadpasa in is a davar that you made asur. You can't create all of a sudden a matpis b'yom shemeit bo aviv. He's using the day that his father passed away, which is an example we're going to see in the Gemara in a second. Over there, there's nothing inherently kadosh or asur in the day. You created the isur there. That isur, you can't go ahead and be matpis. So according to the Rav Soloveitchik, the differentiation in Rashi's Pshat and how he deals or reconciles between the Mishnayot in the Darim and the Rashi over here, who says that neder, there is no such thing as neder, hatpasa by neder, that depends on what type of hatpasa. If you're doing hatpasa, if you're creating some sort of transference of Isur from a chef to an object that it is inherently kadosh, that you can do. If you say kikarban, keheichal, kinazir, those items have inherent kedusha, that you can do hatpasa with. And that's what the Mishnayot are speaking about. Argument over here, what Rav is saying, that there's no hatpasa by neder, is that's and like Shavuah, where I'm taking a willy-nilly nether about something, and I'm trying to be matpis in another willy-nilly thing. But I say I will not eat on the day that my father, like the day that my father passed away. So wait, why is the day that your father passed away asur b'achil? Only because you made it asur. Well, if you made it asur, you can't then again transfer that isur to somewhere else. You need inherent kedusha or inherent isur to transfer. You can't transfer something where you've made up the isur and then try to transfer it over. And that's the ikra machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Abaye believes that anything that's asur, you can transfer, whether you created the isur or whether the isur is inherent. Rava says no, that you can only transfer inherent kedusha or inherent isur. You cannot transfer something that you created in of yours, created yourself. So now the Gemara says, "Meitave ezo isar hamur b'Torah." What is the concept of isar in the Torah? Homer, harei alai shlo ochel basar v'shlo eshteh yayin kiyom shemeit bo aviv kiyom shemeit bo ploni kiyom shnerag bo dlaya ben achikam kiyom shereya rishnayim b'chur bana asur. So here you see neder. And this is a case of neder, because it is harei alai shlo ochel basar, right? I'm not going to eat this meat, and I will not drink wine like the day that one's father passed away, like the day that someone died, like the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, or like the day that Yerushalayim, we saw Yerushalayim b'chur bana, which are all days where you would have assumed, or a person would make such an isur, and therefore they're transferring that isur over. So what do you see? That's assuming that the day that he's speaking about is already asur. That day's asur, then he can transfer it over. But now, Bishlam Allah Abaye, according to Abaye, I can explain this. Matris b'neder, matris b'shvuah b'shvuah. So according to Abaye, I can explain this. Just like it works by shvuah, so too it works by neder also. Just like at pasat, neder works by neder, so to atpasa shvua will work by shvua. Even though truthfully it's the other way around, because we only know about atpasa from shvua, it also points out here, that's how we know it to neder. So Tabartosa says the ways in that the Gemara raised it from neder is because that was the more common type of atpasa that you have, never mentioned by neder. But basically, the position of Abaye is that atpasa works, whether it's neder, whether it's shvua, it always works. So therefore, they can explain this braita that Isra Amar Batorah, the Isra of the Torah is a case of atpasa. That sounds exactly like Abaye's explanation of the braita, and we can understand it. But Ella, when it comes to Rava, how's Rava going to explain this? Kasha, Rava doesn't hold of Hatpasa. And this is Rashi Lishitato, we just said before. Rashi says that when Rava doesn't hold of Hatpasa, he doesn't hold of Hatpasa whatsoever. That means he doesn't hold of Hatpasa by Neder, and he doesn't hold of Hatpasa by Shvuah. So the question, if he doesn't hold it by Shvuah, he doesn't hold it by Neder, how's he going to explain this Breita that we just brought down? Okay, according to Tosfot and the others who believe that when Rava says that there's no hatpasa, he really meant by shvuah, there's no hatpasa. By neder, he does agree that there is such thing as a hatpasa. And therefore, differentiate what the answer is over here. The Gemara says, "El Rava Kasha, Am L'Chorava, Toritz Ve'Ma'ochi." This is how you answer. Ezu Isar Neder Amur B'Torah. What's the Isar Neder that's written in the Torah? Omer Ari Elai Shlo Ochel Basar Shlo Eshte Yank Yom Shmei Po'aviv K'mon Shnerek Bo Ploni. So according to Tosafot and the other Rishonim, the answer of the Gemara is Ein Ochanami. You're talking about Neder. Neder Rava agrees that there's Hatpasa. You're bringing me a proof for Neder to Shvua. Rava agrees by Neder that there is a concept as Hatpasa. You can't prove anything from here because you're talking about Neder, and Rava says I agree by Neder. Whereas according to Rashi believes that Rava even disagrees by Neder. What's the answer of the Gemara? The answer of the Gemara is, no, this is how I explain it. That what we're talking about, Matpis B'Neder, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Ikar Neder over here. Rava says this, Bryce explained to you how to take a Neder. What does it mean, how to take a Neder? That is, Kiyom Shmebov, Amar Shmo, Behush, Nadur, Ba Mioto Ayom. How do you create an Ikar Neder? Ikar Neder is when you do what Pasa. The Iker type of Neder, the way you create a Neder is by comparing it to something else that is already Asur. So all Rava says, the Bryce is indicating to us, is how do you create an Iker Neder? Not using Atpasa. You're taking a full-fledged Neder, using a Lashon Neder, but then you're adding on at the end, like something else. So the person says, Hare Alai Kikarzu, right? That, Konam Alai Kikarzu, that is a Lashon Neder. But not only do you have to say that, you also add something else at the end, which is Kiyom Shemet Bo Aviv, Kiyom Shemet Bo Dazal Yiben Achikam. So the Iker Neder is not just to formulate the Neder, it's itself, but to formulate the Neder with something else and to say it is like something else. So according to Rashi, the answer of Rava is this is not talking about Hatpasa Neder, it's talking about Ikar Neder, and it's telling you how to do an Ikar Neder. According to the other Rishonim, Rava's answer is that Hatpasa does work by Neder, and that's what it's explaining over here. The Rava agrees that Hatpasa works by Neder, it doesn't work by Shavua, and you can't prove anything from here about the case of Shavua. And the Gemara says, my time, how do I know that you should do it B'davar Nadur Amakra Ish Kidor Neder Lashem Ad Shidor B'davar HaNadur Ish kidor, neder l'Hashem. So he has to take, he's taking a neder, he's taking a shvuah, but neder l'Hashem, that includes something else that's already nadur. So you have to create a derivative neder, that each neder includes, again, according to the other Rishonim. That's how we know that Pasa works by neder, even according to Rava. According to Rashi, it means that, how do I know that Ikar neder, even when I formulate the neder, I should include something that compares it to another item. That comes from this pasuk, which says that kidor neder l'Hashem, that a neder should also be a derivative of another item. So now Gemara says kiyom shemet bo aviv shpshita. Of course, kiyom shemet bo aviv is a davar nador. What's the question about that? Why did the Mishnah bring, or why did the Braisa bring this as an example? Of course, that's obvious. Gemara says no, kiyom shenerak ba gedaliah ben achikam itzrichlei. We need it for this, that to compare it to the day of gedaliah ben achikam. Why? Salkadat chamin. I would have thought kevin techilo nador nami asur. The day of gedaliah ben achikam is a fast day. It's a fast day independent of whether he makes it asur or not. It exists. Man, it's an isur of eating that has nothing to do with him. It was created. It's a din of the Nevi'im. It's a fast day, the Rabbonon. And therefore, right, he's already asur. So maybe we would have thought, Sakhadach Tamina came into Chilon Nadar Nami Asur. Even if he didn't take a neder, it would be asur. Ki neder Nami lo avi alei isur. So therefore, when he takes a neder, explicit neder, it won't change anything. But I love mitbas benedru, and that won't be classified as mitbas benedru, kamash malon, that this does work as hatpasa. Even though the isur is not created by you, again, that the day was already asur, it was a fast day anyway, and that isur is not created by you, even though you can add on, or you created an additional isur, nevertheless, the day would have been asur even without your help. So the Gemara says, no, that because you created the isur, that's enough, even though the day would independently have been asur, and you can use that as hatpasa. Again, according to the other Rishonim, that's, you can use that, because that's how you know hatpasa works by nedarim. That can work as a case of Atpasa. And according to Rashi, it means when you take an Iker Neder, that Lashon of Kiyom She Meitz Bo Gedaliah Ben Achikam is enough to make it that you have the Lashon of Neder plus the comparison on Atpasa to another item. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Sever La Lahad Rava. Rabbi Yochanan also holds this position of Rava, that there is no such thing as Atpasa Shua by Shua. The Chiyata Ravin Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mivta. What does the term Mivta mean? Mivta Lo Chelucha. Isar lo achalacha, shvua. He says, whether you use the word mifta, whether you use the isar, they're both explicit terms or synonyms for the word shvua. But what do you see from Rabbi Yochanan is that you see that he doesn't think that isar means hatpasa, like Abaye said, but rather like Rava, which means isar is an ikar lashon shvua, and that's like the position of Rava. Right now, we have a search. It's going to start today. It's going to continue tomorrow about what are the sources for all these surim. Again, this really deals with Bitui Sfatayim. Bitui Sfatayim in our mission we saw before has four manifestations. That's two in the future. One is Ochal. One is Shalo Ochal, I will not eat. And one is that I will eat. The other one is for Le'avar. One says Achalti, I did eat. And the other one, Shalo Ochal, I did not eat. Where's the source in the Torah for all these surim? So now we know that the Isur of Lahara Leiti for Bayer Korban, we know, comes from the Parsha of of Ole Karbon Ole Vayoreh at the end of Vayikra. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there's a ribui meal to ribui, so it includes even Lavar, not just the Atid. But how do I know when he does it intentionally that he gets Malkot? Where is the Isur in the Torah? So this is the first opinion that we're going to have, and that is Kiat Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he had this Masorah in Rabbi Yochanan. Ochel velo ochel, sheker. Person who takes a shvuah la'atidla in the future to say, I will eat, I will not eat, that is a shvuah sheker, and he will get malkol because he violates the Yisra of lo tishavu b'mishmil v'shoker. Achalti v'lo achalti, if he makes a statement about the past, that's shav. That's a shav. Shav means something that's worthless or not, because whatever he did is done already, and he takes a shvuah about it, we know it's false or true right away. V'azaratei me'ocha, and that comes the malkot, or the Yisra comes to lo tishavu b'mishmil v'shoker la'shav. Konamot, when it comes to konamot, over below yachel dvaro. There's another lav of lo yachel dvaro. Do not violate your word, or do not make chulin out of your word. So what does that come to aser? That comes to aser konamot. Again, we'll discuss that in the upcoming dapim more intensely, konamot, which is really a sugya in the darim. So Agumar says, meitve, wait, shav v'sheker echadheim. We have a brisa that tells us that shav and sheker are one, they're synonymous. So if Shav and Sheker are synonymous, how does Rabbi Yochanan over here, according to Rabbi Dimi, split between Shav and Sheker? Create some Shavuot that are in the future, Bitus Fatam, the future is called Sheker, and Bitus Fatam, the Avar, is called Shav. But if you say Shav and Sheker are one item, then how's that? My lab, me the Shav, the Shavar, Av Sheker, not the Shavar. If you want to say they're the same item, then we know Shav for sure has to be in the past, because Shav means it's a naught or worthless Shavuah. A worthless Shavuah can only be if the facts are already known. If the facts are already known, and then it's Shav, that means in the Avar. So if we're going to compare Shav and Sheker to be all one, it should be everything's in the past tense. If that's the case, how does Rabbi Yochanan learn out that Ochel, Vishalo Ochel, which is a future, how does he learn that out from Loti Shavu Bishmilo Shaker? So Gemara says, wait, Alma achalti v'lo achalti sheker, right? That maybe achalti v'lo achalti sheker. So if that's the case, then why would you? Where's your source for ochal v'lo ochal? Gemara says, midiaria. Why do you have to say that? Hadaki ita v'hadaki ita. No, each one is it. Each one is independent. Shav means lavar for achalti v'lo achalti. Sheker means la'atid in the future. That means ochal v'lo ochal. If that's the case, then what is my davar achadim? What does that mean that they're one thing? The Gemara says, "B'dibur echad nemru," that they were said at the same time. That is because there are differences between the first luchot that are found in Yitro, and then those that are the same luchot that are recorded in Etchanan have differences in Lashon. One of them we're going to discuss in a second is Zachor v'Shamor. Ba'ed it says "Lo ta'nebur echad shaker," and one time it says "Lo ta'nebur echad shav." So you see that the word sheker and shav is also interchanged there. So that was it means "B'dibur echad." This is the Braita. Because the Tanya we have a Braita Zachor v'Shamor b'dibur echad nemru. They were said at one instant. Man yachol aped l'daber, man ozen yachol ishma. It's impossible for a person to be able to express two words in a singular moment, and nobody can hear two words or two manifestation of two statements of Zachor v'Shamor in one instant. They can't hear them together. So Bishlama, so Gemara says, "Hatam Dibur Echad Nemru." So over there, Zachon Shemar is Dibur Echad comes to teach the halacha. Why would you have such a thing as Dibur Echad Nemru comes to teach the halacha? Could the Rav Adar Bar Avo? What is the halacha of Rav Adar Bar Avo? Dam Rav Adar Bar Avo, Noshim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. Women are Chayavot in Kiddush from the Torah. Why? Dam Akar Zachor V'Shamor. Pasuk says Zachor V'Shamor. Kol Sheyesh No B'Shmira. Whoever has required to keep Shmira, Shmira is a Lotase. Whoever is required to keep the Lotases of Shabbos, now Yesh No B'Shchira also has to keep the Ases of Shabbos. Since they're required to keep the lotaseh of Shabbos, they also keep the positive commandments of Shabbos. Why is that? Because the p'tur of women in mitzvot aseh shazman grama is limited. That is only mitzvot aseh shazman grama. Only positive commandments that are time-bound are women p'turot from. Any negative commandment, women are chayavot. There are a couple of small exceptions which are not relevant to women, so therefore they don't apply them. But in general, women are chayavot in all mitzvot lotaseh. So over here we have already, there are lotaseh and Shabbos, lotaseh kol malacha. So you're not allowed to do Malach and Shabbos. That applies even to a woman because the mitzvah Zman Groma is not relevant there. We also have a second side of Shabbos. Shabbos also has a positive side, which is that there are positive commands or assay that a person is supposed to do on Shabbos. So those assays are mitzvot assay Shazman Groma. So there, women should be pturot. But along comes this hekesh between Zachor and Shemor and teaches me whoever is chayevet in Shmira is also chayevet in Zechira. So for that, we now included the woman and the positive commandments of Shabbos. What's a positive commandment of Shabbos? That's to make Kiddush. That's what the Mara in Psachim Darshins, that Zachor Yom HaShabbat HaKadosho, Zachreyo B'Knisato B'Tziyoto, And there the Gemara also says, Sachrei ala yayin, biknisato, bitziato. And that actually comes down to a discussion in Tosafot, the Machloketa Poskim. What part of Kiddush is actually deoraisa? What part of Kiddush is considered deoraisa? And Tosos presents over here his position. The first position of Tosos is that, en ochanami, Kiddush is minatora, but that's only Kiddush bepeh, of saying the words, that's minatora. Kiddush ala yayin, that is derabonon. So he differentiates between Kiddush, that is itself, the being mekadesh to Shabbos, which is a din d'oraisa of Zachor, versus Zachor el Yayin, which is an asmachta, that's learned out of the pasuk, but it's only an asmachta, it's a din d'rabbonon that they placed, or they used the pasuk to teach us, that's Zachor el Yayin. So the women that are chayavot, mi d'oraisa and kiddush hayom means to say, bepeh. Kiddush Hayayin is a din d'rabbonon. There also may be chayavot, but that'll only be a din d'rabbonon, not mean din d'oraisa. Tosus brings a second possibility, a shita, which is the possibility that Kiddush Hayayin is also mid'oraisa. Kiddush is mid'oraisa. Kiddush Hayayin is mid'oraisa because they're both derived from the pasuk v'zorcho et yom hashav l'kadsho. What's not mid'oraisa? Litom. You don't have to drink the wine. Drinking the wine that a mevarech tzarech shitom, the one who makes the bracha has to taste some of the wine, that's not a din d'oraisa. That's only a din d'rabbonon. So that's Tosus' two approaches. Tosus does quote the Mefarish, and Tosafot in Nazir also disagrees with the Mefarish. Over there, the Mefarish suggests that Kiddush al Yayin is mid oraisa. That means full-fledged, all of Kiddush, and Kiddush min Yayin, and drinking Yayin is all mid oraisa. That's the Mefarish Nazir. The Ravenu Tam takes this with it, because there the Gemara says, he's mushba v'omen mihar Sinai. Why is a Nazir allowed to take a Shavuot Nazir, and then ruin drinking the wine on Shabbos? He's mushba v'omen mihar Sinai. He really has a commandment from Har Sinai to drink wine on Shabbos. Wait, what do you mean, a commandment from Har Sinai? Well, since when is a mitzvah d'oraisa to drink wine on Shabbos? So that's how long comes the Mefarish and says, Enochanami, the mitzvah of Kiddush, ala yayin is midoraisa. And you see that from the Gemara in Pesachim, that Darshan Zachoret Yom HaShav HaKadosh means Zachreyu b'knisato b'tzeo, but also Zachrey ala yayin. Tosus over there disagrees, and he brings the Tup Shatim that he does over here, either Kiddush ala bepeh is doraisa, but not drinking wine, and or Kiddush ala yayin is doraisa, but you still don't have to drink it. Well, in any of those cases, then what's the Gemara's question over there? So the Rabbeinu Tam in Nazir explains, and he also says it over here, that when it says, Mushba omed har Sinai, that's not a statement of the Gemara, that's a question. Bit me off. Why do I need a pasuk to simply tell me that a nazir can refrain from drinking wine? Does he have a requirement from Har Sinai to drink wine? Where is there a mitzvah d'oraisa to drink wine? So Rabbeinu Tam reads it as a bit me on the Gemara over there. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me a nazir is allowed to restrain from or refrain from wine when there's no mitzvah for him to drink wine? Where do you find a mitzvah? And that's the way they'll read the Gemara over there in order to avoid the problem of the Gemara sounding like there's a mitzvah in a Torah to drink wine. All right, nevertheless, now we have an explanation of what the Zachor and Shamor are there. So the Gemara says, okay, that's very nice. That explains to me why Zachor and Shamor b'dibur achad nemru. Elohocha l'may yuchasa mi b'ayle. Why would I have Shav and Sheker written as a single Elohocha? What does that teach me? Elo, k'shem shalokel Shav, kach lokel Sheker. Comes to teach you. Just like you get Malkot for Shvat Shav, so too you get a Malkot for Shvat Sheker. Gemara says, kafi layo. That's a backwards logic. Why? By Sheker, it makes more sense that you would get Malkot. Why? Because Sheker can involve a case of Maaseh. That's a lab shame, but that has Yeshua Maaseh. Why? If a person says, Shua Shlo Achal, I will not eat. Then he goes in and eats. He did a Maaseh and violated his Shavuah. So there you can get Malkot. Shua Shav, by definition, is never a Maaseh, because you're always talking about the past. In the past, it's all Dibor. There's no Maaseh over here. So why would you say that by Shav you get Malkot? So certainly by Sheker you get it. It should be the other way around. So that's what the Gemara says. Okay. Ela Ema Kishem Shalokela Sheker, just like you get Malkot for Sheker, because there could be a Maaseh. Kachloke Nami Ela Shav. Also over there, you get Malkot for Shav. The Gemara says Pshita. That's Pshita. We know that you get Malkot by Shav. So again, now, when we're talking about Malkot here, we're talking about Malkot for Ochal, Velo Ochal is Sheker. And Malkot for Shav means for Achalti and Lo Achalti. So the Gemara says, okay, just like you get Malkot for Shvat Sheker. Now, Shvat Sheker is only in the case where you say Ochal, that I will not eat, and you go ahead and eat, because there's a Maaseh. In a case where you say Shvat Ochal, that I will eat, and then he goes ahead and does not eat, there's no Maaseh. So there, maybe there's no Malkot at all. So the Gemara says, from there I can learn to Shvat Shav, that Achalti Lo Achalti also get Malkot. The Gemara says, Pshita, I already know by Shav, by Achalti Lo Achalti you get Malkot. Why? Because that Pasuk, the Pasuk says, and we dash in the Gemara in Makot, and again the Gemara is going to do this on tomorrow's daf. It says, Loi Nekeh Hashem. Hashem's not Menakeh, but Beit Din Shamata is Menakeh. Beit Din Shamata is Menakeh. How are they Menakeh? They Menakeh by giving Malkot. So we know that there's Malkot by Shvat Shav. The Gemara says, Pshita, Hai Lav, Vai Lav, they're both Lavin. So why should he not get Malkot? The pasuk gives us a reason to believe that you should get Malkot, because it says Loinya Ke Hashem. Where it says Ma'od Odei Makadam Alei Rav Papa Abaye. I would have thought the Havamina, this is Gemara's going to ask tomorrow, the Rav Papa challenged Abaye and says, how do you know Loinya Ke means that Hashem's not Menakeh, but Beis Din is? Maybe Loinya Ke means you don't get any Nikoy at all. And Kamash Malan, right? Loinya Ke Klal, Kamash Malan, the way Abaye asked, answered Rav Papa. Abaye says no, because it says Loinya Ke Hashem. If you wanted to say like you, you should just said Loinya Ke. Loinya Ke Hashem tells you it's only Nikoy, not from Hashem, but Beis Din does have it. So you would have had a Havamina to say that Shav does not get Malkot. Along comes the Hekesh between Shav and Sheker, the Dibur Echad to teach you. No, yes, by Shav you do get Malkot, just like you get Malkot by Sheker. So now, the Tosos deals with a little bit whether we really actually need the Dibur Echad anymore, because once you know Loinya Ke Hashem, that you could learn out the Malkot from there. So Tosos says at this point in the Gemara, maybe they've rejected that point of Dibur Echad, they didn't deal with that, and they're just saying it comes from Loinya Ke Hashem. Another possibility is that we still need Dibur Echad is because the Pasuk of Shvuat, Sheker, and Shav is said by Edut, not by Shvuah. And that is, it says, Lo Tenem Echad Shaker, Lo Tenem Echad Shav. So Shav and Sheker are used by Edut, not by Shvuah. So the Dibur Echad comes to teach me that Shav and Sheker are one entity, not just for Edut, but also for Shvuah. And therefore, we still need the Dibur Echad to teach me that aspect, that it's transferred from Edut to Shvuah, even though by Shvuah I also know that there's Malkot by Shav. But that comes, the additional Dibur Echad comes to teach me that this Dibur Echad implies that Shav and Sheker are also equivalent when it comes, or have meaning in being a single entity when it comes to Shvuah, not just by Eidut. V'id by Teima, K'shem shemivi karban al sheker, kach mevi karban al shav. What's the Dibur Echad? Why are they compared Shav and Sheker? To teach you, just like you bring Shvuah, you bring a karban al sheker. Why? That's what it says in the puzzle. La'ra'u le'itiv. That's a future statement in Bishvuat Bitoy, that if I will eat or I won't eat, if you violate that, you bring a korban. That's the korban olev yared. So too, if I say it on the Shav, I say in the Avar, achalti v'lo achalti, I bring korbanot on that. Whose opinion? That's Rabbi Akiva, the mechayev l'shavar, kila habo. And that would be according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that he's mechayev on the past tense, just like he is mechayev on the future tense. And that we learned earlier in the Masechta, because he has the riboy, miyot to riboy, and he includes any type of Shvuat Bitoy, whether it's in the future or in the past, he brings korbanot on it. When it says Meitivei Yezuhu Shvuat Shav, what's a Shvuat Shav? Nishba Lishnota Diyadua. Shav means when you come to change something that's absolutely known, Adam, that's known to a person. Shvuat Sheker Nishba Lachlif. So the case when you come to change something that is right already existent, but not that is known to everybody. So if that's the case, then Shvuat Sheker is also talking about the past tense. Shvuat Shav is talking about the past, but it's something obvious. When you say a male is a female, when you say a cat is a dog, that's a Shvuat Shav. What's a Shvuat Sheker? Shvuat Sheker is when you talk about the past, but not you have to investigate to see if you're right. If this person says, I did not eat, or I did eat, we don't know. We don't know for certain whether he did or did not eat. We have to look into it. But that's called Shvat Sheker because it's Lachlif. He's trying to change the past, but he can't change it. But that's the case. Shvat Sheker means the past tense, and that doesn't work for Abdim Rabbi Yochanan. So when it says, Nishba Umachlif, not Nishba Lachlif, that he's trying to change the past, but Nishba Umachlif. He takes a Shvat and then he tries to change it. He changes his Shvat. He violates his word. How do you take a Shvat and violate your word? That's a Shvat. Latid Lavo is about in the future. And therefore, that would be a case of Ochal Velo Ochal, and then it could define Sheker as being Ochal Velo Ochal. Okay, we'll stop over here.